Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm so happy to get to spend this time with you, continuing on with our Why Vegan series, newly revamped, newly updated with so much more information and resources than when I first recorded this series many years ago. And today we are continuing on specifically where it comes to the consequences of eating meat, dairy, and eggs when it comes to the animals. And it's part two of the animals. In today's installment, we'll be discussing our consumption of fish and other sea life. And if you haven't listened to our previous episode on the animals, I recommend starting there and then continuing on with this one. And of course, the whole series is great to listen to in order. We talked about health, we talked about the environment, and we still have a few more episodes to go. So we're gonna get started right now. Hi there, and welcome to More Plants, a vegan podcast by Brownbowl that helps you start, continue, and enjoy eating plant-based for your health, the animals, and the planet. I'm Kim Sujovalski, your host and certified plant-based cook and educator. In this podcast, you'll find all the practical tips, resources, and support you'll need to make your journey easy and sustainable, no matter where you are along this path. To learn more about our online courses, recipes, and blog, visit brownbowl.com. And now, let's dive into today's episode. A little reminder before we begin talking about all of this is that I'm going to be sharing lots of sensitive information. There is a mention of some of the practices done to animals in these industries, and I'm going to be providing this with as much sensitivity and tact in a way in which I feel I would have been open to listening to it when I first encountered this information. And I talked about this in part one about the animals, so go ahead and listen to that. But know that we will be discussing some tough issues. And if you're probably here, it's because you are interested and you're ready to receive this information. If it's not right for you yet, know that this episode is going to be here for you when you are. But I always encourage people to listen to what we contribute to, whether we know about it or not, just to be more informed. And because it can be the piece of information and the piece of motivation that might be lacking if you haven't been able to make these changes and you want to make these changes. And of course, as always, I'm going to share all of this information to help empower you. It is never here to shock or to convince you or to make you make any changes that you are not ready for or that you feel you cannot do. Everyone is going to take this journey to wherever they can take it, and everyone has space here. So let's get into talking about the fishing industry. But before we do, here's a note from our sponsor for today's show. This episode is brought to you by our online course, The Roadmap. The Roadmap is an online course that will help guide the way if you're newly vegan, thinking of becoming vegan, or wanting to take more steps in this direction. Module by module, we take you by the hand through every step, covering topics like finding your motivation and having the right mindset when making this change, to how to build a nutritionally balanced plate, how to shop, prep, stay on budget, plan your meals, travel, get organized, and navigate every social situation as a vegan, and so many others. There is no stone left unturned, and we do it all with that approach you love so much, in which missteps are welcome, and there is no such thing as perfection. And of course, it includes the most delicious recipes and menu ideas. There is so much more included in this course, so head on over to brownbowl.com/the-roadmap to watch our video trailer, to see the full list of modules, lessons, and recipes, pricing, and more. Again, that's brownbowl.com/the-roadmap. Now, on with the show. Okay, let's get into it. When people think of factory farms, many now believe these places to be horrible for animals and often think that because fish live their lives in freedom in our vast oceans, they at least have a better life until they're caught. certainly there is a huge difference between a wild caught salmon and a pig raised in a gestation crate in a factory farm. The problem is that a lot of the fish that reaches our stores doesn't come from the wild. It comes from fish farms. And we're going to start our discussion here. These have a whole host of problems, from environmental to consequences for our health to harm done to the animals, all of which we'll get into. But on the other hand, going back to catching fish in the wild, commercial wild fishing is one of the biggest environmental problems we have in our world today, with many dangerous consequences to the health of our planet moving forward. And another issue is that sadly, and we'll get into this in today's episode, due to the nature of commercial fishing practices, many more animals die other than the fish that will land on our table in order to get that fish on our plate. And we're going to focus a lot on this issue in this episode. Remember that number of land animals killed for food? 60 billion land animals are killed for food each year in the meat and dairy industries. When it comes to fish and other sea life, the number is astounding. When I first researched and recorded this series many years ago, the number of sea animals killed was about a trillion every single year. New estimates are between that number and 2.3 trillion of wild fish, plus anywhere between 51 and 167 billion farmed fish. That's in 1 year. Some areas have become entirely depleted of species of fish that were abundant in the past, causing irreparable damage to the ecosystems, which harms not only sea life, but the life of human beings as well. The problem is that fishing doesn't happen as it used to happen in the past. The boats, the nets, the machinery that is commonly used, and even the poison and explosives that are sometimes used, and these are used a lot less, thank goodness, and these are practices that you can see in some parts of the developing world, but they do happen. But all of these new ways of fishing have become so massive that sea life hasn't been able to reproduce and repopulate as fast as we're killing these animals. The 2012 State of World Fisheries and Aquaculture has indicated that our oceans have been overfished and are overstressed and in imminent danger of collapse. They've stated that 57% of world fish production has been taken from fully exploited fish stocks. At the rate we're going, the State of World Fisheries has predicted an almost total collapse. That's a 90% depletion of all the species of wild seafood we currently fish by the year 2050. This includes death from the actual fishing, but also as a consequence of altering the biodiversity and balance that occurs naturally in nature, which we've been messing with for years and years and years. When a certain type of fish like tuna gets popular, or insert fish of the year gets popular, this has serious implications for the animals and our planet, but also to human beings, as we'll discuss further along in this series. There are also consequences to our health, since fish and other seafood has become so contaminated with heavy metals and plastic, which are harmful to our health. Now, although regulations and laws have been put into place to protect species of fish from becoming endangered, and they do this by simply limiting the times of year or the areas where fishing can occur so that fish just get a chance to reproduce and repopulate the area. Although these are there, illegal fishing is still very prevalent, and these laws aren't properly enforced, and part of it is the nature of fishing. If it's hard to enforce these laws in farms and slaughterhouses where you have a physical address that you can go and check up on, and we talked a lot about how these systems fail in our last episode, but imagine what happens in the open sea. It's very hard to enforce these laws. There are so many concerns when it comes to the environment, but there are also causes for concern when it comes to the animals. And you'll be able to see this with your own eyes in some of the films and resources that I'll be recommending at the end of our series. And all of them will be linked as well within the show notes of each episode. To sum it up briefly, fishing boats go out to sea to fish specific species. So a tuna operation will be different from a swordfish operation, for example. But of course, today's fishing methods can't selectively choose which fish is going to be caught within these massive nets and the massive technology of these boats. Many other species get caught. This is called bycatch. And the ones that don't mean profits for that particular fishing operation are killed, but then they're simply tossed away, meaning unnecessary deaths that don't even feed people who are hungry or are sold cheaply. They are simply discarded. And when I saw this, when I saw the footage of how this is done, it was mind-blowing. Another thing that happens is that sea life, such as mammals like dolphins and small whales, as well as birds and sea turtles and other sea life that aren't fish, they get caught in these nets and also die for nothing. Until very recently, the poaching of seals was permitted and still happens illegally in some regions of the world, in which seals are killed in a horrific way. So they don't eat the fish that humans want to catch. These operations are so massive, so destructive. They ruin biodiversity. They ruin the ocean floors and wreak havoc on the environment. According to Jacob Hill, a field and conservation biologist with an MS in biology from Purdue University via environmentalscience.org. I'm going to quote him. Over the past 20 years, an estimated 85,000 sea turtles have been killed as bycatch. 85,000 sea turtles. Additionally, an estimated 300,000 marine mammals, 160,000 albatross, and 3 million sharks are lost to bycatch from fishing practices each year. This is astounding. A man-made solution to the problem of overfishing was the development of what we call fish farms, where a very high percentage of the fish that reaches our supermarkets actually comes from. It is expected that over 60% of the fish Americans eat will come from fish farms by the year 2030. The rest comes from operations as the ones I mentioned before. So what are fish farms? Fish farms are areas in special ponds within rivers and within sea where fish are enclosed, bred, and even genetically manipulated in order to grow them for food, similar to what happens in farms for meat and dairy, etc. So here, fish are severely overcrowded and suffer greatly because of it. They are often sick, and therefore antibiotics must be used. They are far from that idyllic idea we have of a fish swimming freely until it's caught. What's worse is these fish need to be fed in order to survive and to grow until they reach their slaughter weight or age. And where does a lot of that fish feed come from? If you said the wild, you guessed it. In countless of these operations, farmed fish eat smaller wild-caught fish. It can take up to 1.9 kilograms of wild-caught fish to produce 1 kilogram of farmed fish, all the way up to 5 kilograms of wild-caught fish per kilo produced of farm fish. It doesn't seem that practical, does it? I quote the Issues in Ecology report by the Ecological Society of America. For the 10 types of fish most commonly farmed, for instance, an average of 1.9 kilograms of wild fish are required for every kilogram of farmed fish produced using compound feeds. The highest inputs of wild-caught fish more than 5 kilograms for each kilogram produced, are used in raising marine fish such as flounder, halibut, sole, cod, hake, haddock, redfish, sea bass, congers, tuna, bonito, and billfish. Many salmon and shrimp operations use roughly 3 kilograms of fish biomass for each kilogram produced. When I hear these staggering statistics, that number of a trillion sea animals being killed each year, it kind of begins to make sense, right? When you understand how these operations work. Although there are new feed alternatives being used in some operations for farmed fish, these operations also have other problems. For example, many species of fish are genetically modified to have offspring that are only female and sterile. This is done because farmed fish often escape the nets in farm operations and reproduce with wild-caught fish, causing a myriad of problems. The problem is that by doing this genetic manipulation, a percentage of these fish have serious physical malformations, including spinal deformities, enlarged heads, respiratory problems, and others. And of course, as with all types of farming, they are genetically sort of selected and bred in order to grow bigger, faster, and all of these problems begin to occur. All of these things harm these animals. And the fishing itself means, of course, the killing of these animals. Many of the fish now farmed, like salmon, are animals that in the wild swim thousands of miles. And now, in these enclosures, just like we've seen with dolphins and orcas and other sea mammals used in aquariums for performance sake, their lives are now limited to small enclosures, only in this case also filled and overcrowded with other fish. There are also so many painful practices done to these fish in order to artificially enhance quick reproduction, as well as practices that have shown to cause a lot of distress in fish for the purpose of removing lice, for example, which commonly gets on these animals, especially in fish farms. There is also a high mortality rate within fish farms before fish get to slaughter age and weight. And to prevent this, a lot of antibiotics are used, which, although beneficial to those animals in their horrible circumstances, can in turn create problems for humans down the line. According to Ed Winters, author of the book, This is Vegan Propaganda and Other Lies the Meat Industry Tells You, which I've mentioned a lot throughout the series, and it's one of those must-read books if you are feeling inspired to make some of these changes. It is filled with just so much information. But according to Ed Winters, investigations have shown that even in very small sea animals like shrimp or prawns, in some regions of the world, there are mutilation practices done to the eyes of female prawns to destroy the glands behind the eyes that control sexual maturity rates and ovulation, all for the purpose of getting the prawns to grow bigger and faster and reach reproductive age faster to ensure faster breeding. When I hear practices like these, the first thing I ask myself is, who on earth develops or even comes up with these practices? The answer is always that for these industries, they aren't beings. They are the product, just as you would adjust and perfect and bang out and reform a machine used for making steel for a car or aluminum for a can. Only these products aren't living. They can't feel pain, whereas countless studies have demonstrated that these animals can. Farmed fish, which don't need to be caught because they're already enclosed, aren't killed by anything close to a quote-unquote humane method. They are either gassed or their gills are cut off without stunning, as we do, albeit badly and inconsistently, with cows and pigs killed for food. According to Ed Winters, who to me has been one of the people who in recent years has studied and reviewed and watched the largest amount of footage and investigations done on farming practices, he qualifies the fishing industry as the one where the most inhumane methods of killing are used. even more so than what we've seen in the farming of meat, dairy, and eggs. I highly, highly recommend his book, which is not only filled with information, but where you can find so many additional research studies, investigations that you can dive into further. Many people turn to fish when they hear about the horrors done to land animals and birds in the meat, dairy, and egg industries, because we often don't feel the same empathy and connection as we do with birds, and especially with mammals. I get it. I had this bias too, but it has now been proven that fish can and do feel pain, just like all the other animals where these signs are more visible. We can see it so clearly with animals that are more similar to the animals we do come into contact with on a regular basis, our dogs, our cats. There, it's so clear, and we can make that connection so much easier. It doesn't happen that way with fish, but it doesn't mean that fish don't suffer. They also show signs of intelligence, avoiding traps they've previously encountered. They have social hierarchies. They develop complex social maps of their areas. They show signs of memory, including memory related to social interactions with other fish when it comes to things like cooperation. Aside from all of these issues, like I mentioned before, many commercial fishing operations injure or kill other animals like seals, other sea mammals, or birds if they can be a threat to their catch, causing additional and completely unnecessary cruelty that doesn't even feed anyone. I've seen video of this seal poaching in action, and it's done in such a cruel way that the image has never left me. All of this I've mentioned and the many common practices I didn't have time to mention mean that when you eat one fish, many other animals were killed to produce it. And that doesn't happen in the same way in any of the other industries where animals are used for food. It is such a clear thing to see and a very painful thing to see. These are industries that also prioritize, as all businesses do, profit over consequence. And so for fish that are line caught, for example, once a fish is hooked and is therefore injured, it can remain in the line underwater for hours while waiting for more fish to get hooked to the subsequent hooks on the line, because these lines have many hooks all throughout them. There are also horrible practices done to fish caught by gill nets or bottom trawlers when dumped in massive amounts on fishing boats, where many fish are gutted while still alive and the rest die due to suffocation and the pressure change of going from being inside the water to being forcefully and quickly pulled out, causing tremendous pain. In my opinion, few industries have caused environmental and life destruction as the fishing industry, because it's simply at too large a scale. And if slaughterhouses and factory farms are invisible to us and far from where we can oversee what goes on, the fishing industry even more so. And it's very difficult to enforce regulation when fishing happens out in the open sea, like I mentioned before. Now, do I think that when my grandpa taught me how to fish in Venezuela growing up, and the whole family shared that one wild-caught fish that we were able to catch and we had it for dinner, is it the same as the horrors of factory farms and the destruction caused by large-scale commercial fishing operations? Well, of course not. Of course it's not the same. I think any vegan would tell you that. I don't think it's the same. But the problem is that this is not where most people are getting their fish. It is not where these fish come from when you order fish at a restaurant. Most come from the industry we've been focusing on today. And regardless of where the fish came from, they are still their own beings with their own lives. So for me, the choice after finding out this information was to simply skip the fish. Now, there are fortunately alternatives. There are alternatives for getting the proteins and omega-3s that fish provide. There are alternatives when it comes to recreating seafood-style dishes using plant-based ingredients. There are countless products that can give you such a remarkably similar taste and texture for when you miss it. And the choice gets easier with every passing year. I know this information is a lot to take in, and I know that sometimes fish is the last animal product to go because we were removing all of the others where it's so clear that there is so much pain and suffering, and we leave sometimes fish for last. And I know there's also a lot of guilt when we come across all of this information and we've been eating these products our entire lives. I want you to remove all of that from the equation because most of us have no idea. I didn't know. And when I found out, I decided to make a different choice. And we can all do that. We can all do that starting today or tomorrow or when we're ready. We can start inching our way into a more plant-based way of eating and reducing or hopefully someday eliminating all of this cruelty. I know this information was hard, and I thank you so much for bearing witness to what these animals go through on a day-to-day basis because of our purchasing habits and our eating habits. And I include myself in that package because I ate these products for most of my life. And I hope that this information helps inspire you. It helps keep you motivated. And even though we found out about all of these horrible things, know that all vegan journeys are different, and people go at this at their own pace in whatever way works for them. Sometimes there are steps back. Sometimes we move forward a little bit more. Sometimes some people move away from this change and then come back to it. There is no one way, and I am here for all of your ways, but I do want you to be informed, and I do want you to arm yourself with what can be your greatest motivator. Animals were the reason I decided to make this change so many years ago. And although it's always hard for me to revisit this, and I had to do so much research that I thought I was done with, I knew that, and I didn't have to go through it through that again. It certainly helps me remember, and it's hard, but it's helpful and it's motivating. And I hope that it is that for you as well. In our next installment in the series, we are going to cover dairy and eggs. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps us reach more people who are interested in making more vegan choices and need some support. Remember that you can find all of the show notes, links, and many additional resources for this episode in the description below. And of course, don't forget to visit bramble.com to learn more about our online courses, recipes, and blog posts. Till next time, everyone.